welcome to the podcast. You know our names. It's No Need. Welcome back from holidays, Bridget. How'd you go?
I had a great time.
What'd
In
you
fact,
do?
I decided to sell a lot of my clothes, so I was busy. This is a full-time job.
You're like a shop now.
Sure.
I'm a shop, and I'm selling to people who are exactly like I used to be, as these crazy, savage shoppers.
Mm.
And I know exactly how to speak to them.
What do you do?
Well, someone, for example, I'm like, some of my outfits, I'm like, channel your inner Stevie Nicks in this beautiful lace skirt.
Well, now I want that.
you can dress it up with heels or some nice strappy sandals for the Arvo Barbie. So I put it exactly in their heads because that's what I used to do. I used to go, yes, I need that for a Barbie. Yes, I need that. So I can see myself at a Barbie.
Hello. If you had to open a shop, what would you call it?
I would call it Rock and Roll Cowgirl.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so you.
The rock and roll cowgirl.
Rock and roll cowgirl.
So
you're the only person I've ever met that
rock.
Always looks like you're ready to film a film clip.
Isn't that nice? See, Flan and Jamie, my hubby, on the same team. Spider looks at me and goes, oh, you rated your nana's wardrobe. Because he doesn't understand fashion.
Did he?
He doesn't understand fashion.
My nana has got a rug that you've got on now.
I don't think that's a rug.
Whack, whack.
Yeah, there's no use in it because you don't. Yeah.
No, that's all right, mate. I sell it for twice as much as I bought it. So
that's the thing.
It's better than us.
So you were saying before that you're getting better prices for things than you actually paid.
I was putting stupid things on because I was told that they barter you down. But no, people are like, I'll give you more for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great addiction to have. I didn't blow it up my nose or chuck it in my liver.
Well done for you.
It's an addiction that I've got the result of it and I can sell it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great.
So
it's lovely.
How do people get in touch with you to buy your clothes?
Oh, I don't know. I'm new to all this Facebook thing.
Oh,
I don't even have a clothing. I don't actually know. No, actually, I'm under a pseudonym there, so I'm not telling you.
Oh, really?
Spider, how was the middle of Australia?
Yeah, good.
Why are you all quiet? What's wrong?
Yeah,
what's happened? You're going all quiet.
No, you're going all quiet just because I smashed you about what you say about my clothes and now you're red in the face and all sulky.
What's
wrong with you?
No, I just realised my mum's crook.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry.
Undies no good.
Anyway.
Great. Now you make me feel really bad.
No, well, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, he's probably making
you're
it
right?
up, Bridget. It's all right.
No, I'm not.
He's reading it.
It's all right. Uluru. Uluru was all right.
Yeah.
It's a rock.
Is it as good as they say? Everyone comes back from that rock raving
about
it.
It's three times bigger in the ground than it is above the ground.
How do they know that?
I don't know. And if you are driving there, a lot of people think you're going to Uluru, but it's actually Mount Connor.
Okay.
Right.
The camel safari was good there.
Because you talked about that, yeah.
People think it's close to Alice Springs, but it's not, is it?
No, it's about 4 hours.
How many flies?
600.
How many flies?
Flies. Thousands.
Because everyone I saw some friends there, and no one was posting, oh, this is amazing, just posting photos with fly things on their heads.
No, heaps, thousands.
Really?
Thousands of flies, but not that many people.
Speaking of flight, did you fly in or did you drive
flew
in your great caravan?
You don't
caravan?
Want to fly in. You don't want to fly because they have a customer control thing. So you've got to go through customs when you land.
Serious?
Yeah, because of COVID. And if you're at the back of the plane, you'll be there for a good hour and a half.
No.
But if you're at the front of the plane, you'll be only there for 2 or 3 minutes.
Good tips.
I see.
So make sure you get, and plus because only Jetstar fly in there, you've got to be either the front or the back because you're allowed down both stairs, the front and the back
And
stairs.
You're always the middle because of your legs.
Exactly. So don't be stuck in the middle. And outside of that, it was all right.
That's all right. What about you?
That's Bridge.
Yeah.
That's Spider. What about our anchor, Stevie Nicks? How was your holidays?
It's just because I'm dressed in Bridge's clothes. I just ordered.
I know.
What did you do? Did you
buy him under, though? What was the name?
It was
I'm not telling you because that's one thing Spider would look up and then he'll try and get to me that way and pretend to buy things and he'll think it's so wacky and crazy because it makes him feel better, but me feel like shit.
I would not
he's catlighting you.
I don't go on Facebook, so I wouldn't do it.
You'd do anything to get me. Anyway,
no, I wouldn't.
Flan, how was yours?
Mine was brilliant. We had family come up and see the kids' musical. It was everything you think it's supposed to be, and I was waiting for the big family fight, and it didn't happen, probably because it's not my family. It's Lisa's.
That explains even better. How's the musical?
Oh, amazing.
Because they've been training. I think you made a good point the other day about this, is that it's like your kids' grand final.
It really is. Yeah, we're not a sporty family. We're sort of an artsy. No, we're not. We're singing. We like music.
How amazing was it?
You know, it was incredible. In fact, people are coming away from it saying it's the best school production they've ever seen of anything, which is a huge rap. I know
that's
a huge
massive.
Rap.
Massive.
Okay, it was me saying it, but whatever.
You were the critic.
What were you going to say, Benny?
I was just going to say they weren't just parents of the children. They were like actual paying guests.
Look, All Saints, every couple of years, I beg your pardon, they do a great musical. Now, while we were away, there's been a great deal going on internationally, and we've got a futurist and an international relationships expert. You may have seen him on Channel 7 in the past, Dr. Keith Suter, a very, very clever man. We're going to talk about India and the COVID situation, but also a more aggressive China in this world and how we should react, whether or not we're looking down the barrel of a war. Serenity Safe Harbour is going to take you to Byron Bay for a moment and talk about a mass vaccination centres around Australia. And the under-13s fight between Logan and Winner Manly was supporters and parents who hooked into it on the sideline. Some shocking things took place there. We're going to take your calls. Is it worse or is it the same as it's always been for parents on the sideline? Under-13s, Logan versus Winner Manly, and apparently a pretty mouthy member of the crowd from Logan got told to shush it up and he got cranky about it. A brawl ensued and there was some pretty savage stuff going on. Somebody was kicked in the head. 100 kids saw it. And then the bloke who did the kicking jumped with his kid into his car and took off because he's a coward. So let's have a little listen to this. Here's a moment from that incident.
Yeah, very mature.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so many children looking on.
Yeah, absolutely. 100 kids there, Bridge, and it's just a shocking example to set. It really is. And as I say, jumped in the car and took off. So I've never been to any junior AFL spider. Is this something you'd see at a junior level in your beloved code?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know if it's getting any worse or it's always been around. I still remember my cousin Aardvark getting into a fight at a junior. I can't remember if it was a grand final or a game. I was playing for Wantirna Devils. I was only in the under-10s at this stage. And I still remember the fight after the game.
Ooh,
which is...
Amongst the parents?
Which amongst the parents. And so you think of those 100 kids that were watching over the weekend and saw that unfold. They're going to remember that as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's getting worse, but, you do unfortunately see, not only even some of the coaches lot of the parents yelling and screaming, abusing over the sidelines. It's got to stop. And how we stop it, I've got an idea, but it's just ridiculous
and
at the moment.
And in this situation too, the Logan dad that actually did assault this guy, who it was his first day on a new job today, and he's in hospital. He, allegedly wasn't doing the right thing. So, again, he wasn't taking responsibility for his actions. Look, I don't remember any of this in the days of a little athletics and netball and stuff, because those were the days that the dads would bring the Eskies and it was their time to catch up. So they didn't even know the game was on. Your parents would kind of go, got on you, Bridgie, got on you, and then get back to... So there was no fights. Or everyone was having a grand old time.
Or do you think it is because, every code and, everybody wants to play top league basketball, NRL, AFL.
So there's pressure.
And the parents now are playing through their kids and putting a lot of pressure. Mm. We know there's so many different levels and so many representative teams that they want to try and make that, they are getting in there because, a coach and you get parents pulling their children aside and trying to give them this and then, they're on the sidelines yelling and screaming and not only at their own kids but other kids as well. And I know there's been parents that are banned, but I reckon the best year of coaching ever was last year during COVID. Because no parents were allowed to the game.
Well, there's your solution, yeah?
And, that's my solution. I reckon, ban parents from going to the games. And I know it's a hard call and it's harsh, but you know what? The sides listen, the kids listen, they learn a lot more.
Yep.
The coaches are in place for a reason because that's what they're there to do.
Yep.
They're the ones volunteering their time to help these kids.
Yeah.
The only nuisance on game day is the parents themselves. So get rid of all the parents and just allow the kids do what they do and play football and you won't have any of these dramas.
True. Yeah, there was one other solution I was thinking of last night because I was watching that unfold. The guy was screaming out and yelling and carrying on, and you're not allowed to do that. Junior league, there's posters everywhere saying the refs are volunteers.
Yeah,
we're all here
to
have
fun.
That's
exactly right.
Calm the farm and everyone just enjoy the sport.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking was we've all got a camera now, right? Instead of confronting the bloke and making him worse and causing the blue, just record his behaviour. Just record what he's yelling out, record, and then send that to the police and make a complaint. You don't have to confront the bloke. Let him be a buffhead, right? Mm. But record the evidence and send it to someone who can step in.
And the hardest thing is really hard and embarrassing for the clubs as well. You know, these clubs are trying to make money, to get, you know, young kids in there playing, and this, you know, clubs look at that and go, you know what, I'm not going to send my young fella there or my young daughter. So, yeah, I found it really embarrassing, but we still need to still try and work out a way of making this less happen.
And do you want it to be less. Everyone recording everyone? Are we really at that stage in society?
You're actually not allowed to.
There you go. Well, what do you think? Is it worse than it was, or is it just the same? It's just that people are recording more often.
Mm. I've got Ron from Bigger Waters. Are you there, mate? What do you reckon? You used to coach junior hockey, did you?
Yeah, well, I used to umpire junior hockey matches. And believe you me, it's no different than what it was 20 years ago. Mothers and fathers are both as responsible. Believe you me, I've seen some very mouthy women in my time sitting on the sidelines abusing their kids.
Okay, so Ronnie, no different than 20 years ago.
No different, mate.
Okay. No different. All right, there we go. Ronnie's saying, I don't think it is either. I can remember and still in my mind of, my cousin going off, and it's really sad that that's the memories you have of your junior footy. We got Mel Broadbeach Waters. What do you think? Is it getting worse at junior sport?
No, I agree with the last guy. I don't think it's any different. I grew up with brothers in rugby league. There was a fight on the weekend with my nephew, all at Southport Tigers under 17s. That was pretty nasty. But look, I grew up. Same thing happened when my brother's playing footy, NRL on the Gold Coast, same thing. Like, I heard about it all the time. So,
what do you think the penalty should be?
I'm not sure. I just think the parents need to calm down. Like, some of them live through their children and their sport.
Yeah.
The problem, they don't have a life outside their kids' sports. Get their own lives and just realise it's just there for fun, for fitness.
Just sport.
And then, don't live vicariously through their children and their wanting them to be superstars, and, that seems to be the problem. They seem to be the parents that get rallied up so much.
Yeah. Well,
thank you, Mel.
That's really well said.
Ben and Hope Island, you reckon it's much the same as it's always been, but you want to address Spider's comment about parents not allowed. What do you want to say?
Hey, Tobin, awesome. Good morning, Tobin. Awesome, foursome. Tobin, thank you, Tobin, for the 5:30 to 9:30, Tobin, the shift. Spider, Tobin, it's just more in regards to your COVID, Tobin, that comment, mate. Understand, Tom, where you're coming from. Tom, we had the same time with Runaway Bay, Tom, at Leagues Club, Tom, last year. The only thing, Tom, what I will say, Tom, is going back on what you said, Tom, if, Tom, that you had Boston in, Tom, that your grand final of Southport, Tom, and you didn't, Tom, you had to drop them off, Tom, and then you couldn't see, Tom, on how he performed, Tom, the result, et cetera, et cetera. Would you be happy with that, mate, in 2021?
Yeah, really. I know what you're saying. You want to go and watch your kids play, and that's what you love about it, being able to see and develop. Mm. But, the best year I thought coaching-wise was the fact that, there was no parents, so you didn't get any influence from the sidelines.
Right. But no pressure, too.
Yeah, no feedback.
But you know what you'd find, though?
Go on.
You'd find a lot more parents putting up their hand to help, wouldn't you?
Interesting.
Okay, we've solved the world's problems this morning.
So mass vaccination hubs are rolling out around Australia, but not in Byron Bay, where it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Good morning, y'all.
My adopted Rainbow Province name, Serenity Safe Harbour. I live, love and let it be at 420 TP Terrace, speaking words of wisdom at Wigwam Way, Fern Gully, Byron Bay. For full transparency, I have over 26 different identities, all on JobKeeper. And, I could become the CEO of Toll Global Express and make less moolah than I do right now on The Seeker. And I thought Toll Global Express was a Motown band, but moving forwards, the fascists in Canberra editing JobKeeper ended it so mean, and all we wanted in Byron was to not earn an honest living. The hippie capital of Byron Bay and surrounding Rainbow Province is full of unrest because of the mass vaccination hubs. Well, we don't believe in vaccination here in the Bay. We live with and love with disease. We don't believe in vaccination here. In fact, I've been flat-stick setting up a non mass vaccination hub. Oh. Just in Pete Evans's garage. I don't think you'd mind. Yeah?
Yeah.
Anywho, I set up the mass non-vaccination hub so then I can send out a psychic email blast and not let everyone know. Just letting certain people know through telepathy that Byron Bay's essential services like soothsayers, medicine men and apothecaries, your predictions of the future and crystal healing skills are essential and considered 1A, and you will not be vaccinated first. Congratulations. Yeah?
Yeah.
The Byron Bay vaccination roll-in has been a huge success. We have successfully not vaccinated 100% of Byron Bay. 1B is next not to be vaccinated. Uh-huh. That's Druids, Wiccans and diabetics. You need to know that you are not being vaccinated tomorrow, so please book. I say to the Wiccans, Druids, Peaceniks, Soothsayers, Satanists, the Goths, the Visigoths and the High Visigoths, both of you, cut it out and don't form an orderly queue. As soon as we don't achieve herd immunity, we can all be happy and unhealthy. And I have not known such a chasm in cosmic karma since a Satanist kicked Sister Heather Feathersword right in the scissor chakra. Ah, yeah, and mahalo, shashia, aloha, and yeah.
Okay, from local beachside town to overseas, let's talk India, let's talk China with the futurist Dr. Keith Suter.
As we often say with the news, it is doom and gloom at the moment and it's quite scary with a lot of people's predictions, and we've got India at the moment, we've got China. We're going to cover it all right now with Dr. Keith Suter. He's an international relations expert with the Global Truths podcast. Dr. Keith, thank you so much for joining us. Now, let's talk about India. It's getting worse before it gets better. They're saying we're not even at the peak of the wave. They're now discovering with this mutated COVID virus that there's black mold fungus that they're finding in the lungs. People, their toes are falling off. This is crazy stuff. We're not vaccinated for this, are we?
Well, that's the reason why we need to be as vaccinated as quickly as possible, because the longer you get a delay in the community, the more the virus gets a chance to change. So if we can get everybody vaccinated as quickly as possible, then we can actually ease up on some of the restrictions. The UK, for example, next week is actually moving to a lower stage of emergency. So the situation is improving in the UK and the US. It's not all doom and gloom. The Indian case is a tragedy in the sense that they did have a spike last year. The government thought they brought it all under control. The government then allowed mass Hindu religious observances to take place and political rallies, and they turned out to be super spreader events, which have just overwhelmed the Indian health system. Now, that black fungus that you're talking about, that's not widespread. It's a fairly small outbreak, and it can turn people blind or whatever. But we shouldn't over-exaggerate the risk of this, what's called mucormycosis, the black fungus. So don't get too worried about that. If you get vaccinated in time, we will be able to block the expansion of COVID. The problem with India, they became too complacent. They let their guard down too quickly, and the virus has come back to bite them.
Now, we've seen different places around the world. The vaccination has been working. Will this, India and other places that where the vaccine actually is working, will this help open our borders sooner, or are we still looking at 18 months?
Well, originally I thought we might be doing it by the end of the year. It looks like so it's going to be now next year. We've obviously got to get our overseas students returning into this country. Everybody's complaining about a lack of workers in cafes, etc. We need those students back as part of an important workforce thing. I think that this recent setback in India has been a real tragedy, but at the same time, the good news coming out of the US and the UK on the vaccination. Remember, vaccines don't save lives, vaccinations do. And the more that people are getting vaccinated, there's a reduced risk of COVID being able to spread.
Mm-hmm. With Dr. Keith Suter, an international relations expert, I want to ask you about China. I'm a little worried. I've never been this worried in my lifetime about a conflict blowing up. Taiwan is an issue, all sorts of issues with China and expansion into the South China Sea. Are we likely to see a war? I've heard people talking in these terms. And if we did, what form would it take?
Well, this is what's really what you're right to be worried. I agree. And, you know, it's a bit like World War One in the sense that people will almost drift into a war. rather than make it a head-on collision. And you've got people, particularly in Canberra, some of the politicians there, talking up the risk of war with China.
I've never
China is our major trading partner. You know, we're having a booming economy at the moment, luckily, because the Chinese are buying our iron ore. Right. Now, we ought not to be having this head-on collision with China. You're right that China is causing problems, but it's mainly within the boundaries of the old China Empire. Mm-hmm. So that's Tibet and Xinjiang at one end of the country, Hong Kong, Taiwan at the other end, and, of course, it claims parts of the South China Sea. At the moment, it doesn't have a network of overseas bases like the Americans. It's not invading other countries, as the Americans did with Iraq and Afghanistan, etc. So, you know, China, what for me is fascinating is that China has been recovering its position on the global scene, but doing it very slowly and very cautiously. In the last few years, there's been a sense of urgency with a new leader, President Xi. Mm. I just wonder if President Xi is getting worried that China has to strike now because the future is not nearly so good. For example, China may grow old before it grows rich. The Chinese are not having children. Okay. So the Chinese will enter a period of population decline. And so President Xi is making the decision, we've got to move quickly to establish our position on the world scene before we start to shrivel up again.
Well, you can get more Global Truths on the Global Truths podcast on the Listener app with Dr. Keith Suter. Thanks for your thoughts as always, mate. Very interesting.
Thank you.
Well, that'll be that for the podcast. Listen your way. Grab the Listener app and set things up the way you like. If you want to catch our show, it's from 5 a.m. on weekdays on 92.5 The Gold Coast's Triple M.